this week we are in the Gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. We'll be starting in verse 22. I invite you to turn there if you haven't already. Grab a Bible. We'll be in John chapter 6. And let's just go to the Lord and ask for his help before we look at his word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us your written word. We thank you for your Son, who it reveals to us. We thank you that he is the living word. We pray that you'd give us understanding right now as we look at, in some ways, a difficult and confusing text, but so profound. We pray that you'd give us insight, clarity of thought, and most of all, we pray that you would give us faith to believe what you've said and to obey it, to live in light of it. So we pray for your help right now, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Is everybody ready for Christmas? Got all your shopping done? Got all the presents wrapped? Got all your parties gone to? Your treats baked? The remainders set aside for your pastor? Everybody done that already? You busy in December? Anybody a little bit busy in December? Can I get a witness on that? Isn't it possible in the busyness of December to kind of lose what the real meaning of Christmas is? You know what the real meaning of Christmas is, don't you? It's Christmas dinner. Did you know I was going to say that? Real meaning of Christmas is Christmas dinner. What are you guys cooking for Christmas dinner? Some people kind of repeat Thanksgiving, right? Do the turkey and cornbread stuffing and all that stuff again. Some people do something different, you know, do the ham. There's nothing wrong with doing the ham on Christmas. Some people do the brisket. I'm sorry to bring all this up right before lunch. When I was growing up, we always had shrimp gumbo on Christmas Eve. It's just what we did. Shrimp gumbo, it's really a festive Christmassy kind of a meal. And then on Christmas Day, my granny made this thing called breakfast pizza, which is sort of this egg and sausage casserole. Just sort of makes me about want to, you know, fall over with joy just thinking about it. It's just so glorious. The people that really have the true meaning of Christmas figured out are those people. Like, there's probably somebody in your family like this. A lot of times they're in their 20s, and they go eat Christmas dinner at somebody's house, and then right after that they drive across town and eat Christmas dinner at somebody else's house. These are the people that really know the real meaning of Christmas, which is the food. Is there somebody in your family like that? Don't be mad at them. They know what the real meaning is, that food is the meaning of Christmas. You're like, how long is he going to go on with this? So today we're going to talk about food and the true meaning of Christmas, how the true meaning of Christmas is food, but it's not exactly what you might think. It's not the way I've kind of led you. But we're going to get there. So John chapter 6, 22 to 60, we're going to see three things as we look at this text. First of all, how food is not enough. There's more to Christmas than just the food. Number one, how food is not enough. Number two, we're going to talk about the food that's better than food. And number three, we'll talk about how to eat it. So those three things, how food is not enough, the food that's better than food, and how to eat it. Okay? Number one, are you ready? How food is not enough. Let me read the first part of this text. This is John chapter 6, verse 22. And just because we're not walking through the whole Gospel of John, let me tell you what just happened before we get to this place. Jesus fed 5,000 people. Remember, he took the little boy's lunch, the bread and the fish. He broke it and distributed it among the crowds. And 5,000 men plus women and children all got to have lunch. So he took one guy's, you know, bread and fishes out of his lunch pail and fed a crowd of thousands, okay? And then Jesus's disciples, they were on the shore of a lake. Jesus's disciples got into the boat, sailed across the lake. Jesus didn't. He held back. He kind of went off by himself. But then in the middle of the night, he comes walking across the lake on top of the water because he's Jesus and he can do that. And the disciples are scared, and then he gets in the boat and he goes with them to the other side. And that's where we leave off. Okay, verse 22. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat. They also saw that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone off alone. Some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him." "What can we do to perform the works of God?" they asked. Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. What sign then are you going to do so that we may see and believe you?" they asked. "What are you going to perform? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." We'll stop there. After Jesus fed the crowds and snuck off across the lake, the crowds were, you know, they ate, they had eaten the food that Jesus gave them. But something that I can really relate to, the next morning, they were hungry again. Anybody had that happen before? Where you eat lunch or supper, and then you wake up and you're hungry. And so they woke up and they were hungry, and so they're like, "Where's Jesus? Let's find him, because we want to eat again. Maybe he'll work us another miracle. He'll hook us up with another free lunch." And so they go looking for him, and they don't find him. So they're like, "Well, maybe he went to the other side of the lake. We didn't see him go." So they get in some boats, or they go hunting around, and they finally find him. They're like, "Jesus, when did you get here?" And he says, "Well, I'm Jesus, so I walked across the lake." No, he doesn't say that. He kind of redirects them. And he says, "You guys aren't really looking for me. You're looking for the food that I give you. You're not so much interested am what and who I am and what I'm all about, you're interested in the things that I give you, the blessings that I give. You're not getting the deeper meaning of the miracles that I'm working for you. You're just interested in the actual stuff of the miracle. And he tries to redirect them from what they're pursuing to pursue something different. And he says, don't work for perishable food. You know, the kind of food that you're going to eat and just be hungry again. Instead, work for the food that lasts, the food that will give you eternal life, the food that when you eat it, you won't be hungry again. Kind of reminds you of Jesus with the woman at the well, right? When he says to her, you know, if you drink this water, you're going to be thirsty again. But if you drink the water I give you, you won't be thirsty again. Work for the food that'll, when you eat it, you'll have life that will last forever. You won't have to eat anymore. And they say to Jesus, well, how do we do that? How do we do that work? What's the work that God wants us to perform? They're kind of thinking, maybe this isn't a free lunch after all, but maybe it's still a good deal. maybe it's a good bargain. And they're trying to kind of negotiate with God. If I do my part, then he'll do his part for me, right? If I do my work, if I perform the right rituals, if I do the right things, maybe it's like I've got to give a certain amount of money to the poor, or maybe I have to do my quiet time every day for a certain number of days, or, you know, what is it that I have to do so that God will give me this good thing that I want? And Jesus says, you want to know what the work of God is? Here's the work of God. Believe. The work of God is to believe. Believe in the one that he has sent. If you want to memorize a verse, that's a good one. John 6:29. Memorize that one. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. And so they think about it and they're like, well, you got to prove to us that you're worth believing in. Give us a sign. Remember Moses, Jesus? Remember how Moses gave the people manna in the wilderness when they didn't have food? Maybe you can do something like that for us, Jesus. What do you think about that kind of sign? Like a dinner kind of a sign, a lunch. Work a sign by giving us lunch, and then we'll see if we'll believe you or not. And Jesus says, you know, the bread that Moses gave the people in the wilderness, the manna, that wasn't the true bread from heaven. There's a better bread. There's a true bread from heaven. And that's the one that has come from heaven that God sent into the world. When I was a kid, there was this advertisement on television, a commercial that I saw, and I was just sort of taken by. It was for fresh pasta. Like you could buy like the doughy pasta, not like the crunchy stuff that comes in a box, but some sort of doughy pasta that you would make. And the way that the ad went, it showed like the pasta that comes out of a box, and it says, this pasta will last longer than most marriages. And I'm like, whoa. And then it shows some frozen pasta, and I've never heard of frozen pasta before. I didn't even know you could put pasta in your freezer, but I guess you can put anything in your freezer. It showed like some frozen pasta in a block of ice, and it says, this pasta will last last through an ice age. Okay? But our pasta doesn't last that long. You have to eat it fresh. Okay? Interesting commercial. Kind of stuck in my head. But, you know, even the pasta that lasts an ice age, even that stuff in the box on your shelf has an expiration date on it, right? It doesn't last forever and ever. And it doesn't matter what pasta you eat, whether you get the doughy fresh stuff or the crunchy stuff you have to boil up. After you eat it, you got to eat again. There's an expiration date on, you know, just how much, or there's a limitation on just how much nourishment that stuff will provide for you. But there's something better than that. There's a food that's better. There are a lot of people in the world who believe in their minds that God exists, and they want the blessings that God gives us. There are things in our lives that we want. Food is one of them. But also, you know, we want a good life for our children. We want our careers to go well. We want a more comfortable life, a better life. We want to be healthy and strong. There are other things that we want. There are things that we want. And a lot of times, well-intentioned, even religious people can approach God and say, God, I know these blessings come from you. You need to get on board with my agenda and give them to me. Right? I've got the things that I need. I know that you are able to give them. God, why don't you get on board and give me the stuff I want? And God is whispering in our ears, you know, there's something better than just the things that you want, than just the things on your Christmas list. There's something even better, something that maybe you haven't even asked for. But if you will just accept what I want to give, it's even better than all those things that you want. Now let's talk about the food that's better than food. Let me pick up where we left off. This is verse 35. Here's what Jesus said. When they said, Sir, give us this bread always, Jesus said, verse 35, I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. Therefore the Jews started complaining about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Stop complaining among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has listened and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, I tell you, anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Okay, we'll stop there. Jesus himself is the food that's better than food. Jesus himself is the food that gives eternal nourishment. That when you eat this food, you don't have to eat anymore. It nourishes you forever and ever. He gives eternal life to all who believe. And that eternal life, like we said last week, it's not just life that goes on forever. It's a certain quality of life that you can have starting right now, or that many of you have right this second. It's life with God. That's the quality of life it is. It's life for God, with God. It's a certain quality, but it's also true that this life goes on forever, and it includes resurrection. And Jesus talks about that, right? He says, whoever believes in me has eternal life, and I'm going to raise him up on the last day, on judgment day, when God judges the sins of the world. Jesus will raise the dead, and the ones who believe he'll raise to eternal life with God forever and ever. And those who don't believe, he will raise to eternal punishment away from God forever and ever. But eternal life is life with God that lasts forever, and it includes resurrection. Jesus explains that and talks about how he is the bread that comes down from heaven that provides this life, this eternal life. And people are like, now, wait a second. We know your mom. We know your dad. We know your hometown. We know your neighborhood. We've seen the house you grew up in. How can you now say, I've come from heaven? Jesus says, you know who my dad is? My daddy's God. Jesus, like, he doesn't, like, flat out contradict him and say, Joseph isn't my father, even though he could have. But he tells him, you know, my father is the Father. My father is God. I have come down from heaven. God's my father. Everyone that he's given to me, I'm going to hold on to forever. If God calls somebody, they're going to come to me. I'm going to hold on to him forever. I'm going to raise him up on the last day. I'm going to give him eternal life. And he says, if you really have learned anything from God, if you have learned anything that God has taught you, you're going to believe in me, Jesus says. You know, to know God is to know the Son. To know the Father is to know the Son. To know the Son is to know the Father. The way that you know who God is by looking at Jesus. The way that you believe in God is to trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The bread, which, and now get this, this is the thing that floors you. The bread which gives eternal life is Jesus, but Jesus gets more specific than that. The bread which gives eternal life is Jesus' flesh. Flesh means body, right? You know, your muscles, your bones. It's your body. Jesus gave us himself. He gave us his body. He gave his life for us. He suffered, physically suffered, and died for us, stretched his arms out on the cross for us, took our sin on himself, paid the penalty for our sin so that our sins could be forgiven, rose again. Jesus rose again, and all who believe in him follow after him and will rise again too to eternal life with God. Jesus gives us his flesh. He gives us his own body, his life. Everybody knows that presents aren't the best thing about Christmas, right? You don't have to be a believer in Jesus to know that. The whole world knows it. Every Christmas movie that you've been watching on Hallmark this week has shown you that the true, that Christmas is more than just the stuff, right? It's more than materialism, even though we like the presents. Christmas is the family, right? There's more to more to Christmas than the presents. There's the people, your family, your friends, the people that you have around you. And if you could choose between having a stack of presents in your garage or having those people, everybody chooses the people, right? The people are better than the stuff. What's better than the good gifts that God gives us, even better than those good gifts? Food, protection, family, a good life for our children, a roof over our heads. What's better than, even better than the good gifts that God gives us, is God Himself. It's having life with God forever and ever. Sometimes our expectations are too low, right? What's even better than God's good gifts is God Himself. And we can have Him. We can have life with God forever. The only way that's possible, though, is if Jesus gives His life for us so our sins could be forgiven. Let's pick up where we left off. This is now verse 52. When Jesus said, "The life, or the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh," verse 52, at that the Jews argued among themselves and said, "How can this man give his flesh to eat? How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Because my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna your ancestors ate and they died. The one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, "This teaching is hard. Who can accept it?" Amen. This teaching is hard, right? Jesus said, the way to receive eternal life is to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Okay? How do you eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood? This is a hard teaching. And it would have been really hard for first century Jews to hear this. Jews who are very careful to keep kosher and only eat foods that are the right foods, the foods that God has approved. And now he's saying, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." It's like, whoa. What could that possibly mean? Now, obviously, Jesus is not talking about cannibalism. It's symbolic. Even though that was one of the accusations against the earliest Christians, right? They're cannibals. In their worship, they eat flesh and drink blood. People who didn't understand accused us of that. But that's not what it means. It's not the Lord's Supper either. Exactly, even though that's a lot closer to what the meaning is. The Lord's Supper is a symbol that points to the same thing that Jesus points to when he says, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." They both point to the same thing. When to eat his flesh and to drink his blood means to believe, means to trust in him. And he says that all the way through, over and over and over. He says, the one who believes, I'm going to raise up. The one who believes has eternal life. The work of God is to believe in the one that he sent. Not to do some work, not to do some jobs, not to perform rituals, check the boxes. It's to believe, it's to trust me. And then he explains it another way in verse 56, the one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. So eating Jesus' flesh, drinking his blood, it's belief. And another way to understand that, it's to remain in him and for him to remain in you. It's to say, Jesus' life is my life. What Jesus has done counts for me. That he paid for my sins and rose again, that's what gives me life. His resurrection life allows me to live forever. My sins are given to him. His perfection is given to me. I count on him and on nothing else to be saved and to live forever and ever with God. I identify with Jesus' suffering, his physical suffering for me. You believe, you trust. The best meal you could ever eat is Jesus. Now, I know that sounds kind of inappropriate, right? But it's not any more inappropriate than what Jesus just said, right? He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Yeah, it's symbolic, but it's powerful, right? Trust in him. That's, and be nourished by him. Receive the nourishment that lasts forever and ever. Life that goes on and on and on. Life that is rich and deep and profound. Life with God. A lot of times, we approach God with our own agenda. We say to God, these are the things I want. You need to get on board and give them to me. But if we surrender our agenda to God's agenda, his agenda is even better than ours. What he wants to give us is even better than what we could ever ask for. He gives us himself. God gives us God. Jesus gives us Jesus. Perfect love that lasts forever. Forgiveness, acceptance, family, hope, life. You know, forever and ever and ever. God gives us himself, and it's the very best meal we could ever eat. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing teaching. We pray that we would understand it and believe it. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that you've given us yourself. Thank you that you've given us your Son. And we pray in his name, in Jesus' name, amen.